Gavrilik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello, Mark Robinson. This is Mick Warner, and we're going to try something different this year on the Herald Sun Footy podcast, and that is that you and I are going to chat all things footy in 2021. How are you going?
I'm going well. Who made you host?
That would have been the paymasters upstairs.
What are you getting paid for this, buddy?
A little bit more than you.
No, nice. Scotty Gallen will be joining us.
He will be. He's just having a little bit of extended time off.
No, he's not. He's at the tennis. Don't you read tennis?
I don't. Now, do you read tennis
in the Herald Sun?
No, I do not. Now,
neither do I.
Robbo, there's a month to go till the footy is supposed to start. The Thursday, March 18, Richmond have got two flags to unfurl against Carlton. Will there be any crowds there? And will there be any crowds again at the footy this year?
Well, we can't answer that question at the moment. Will there be crowds there? We could have zero cases starting from tomorrow, and this latest cluster can disappear. But I'm not that confident we will have crowds. And that's only my opinion, Mick. That's only my opinion. I'm not confident we're going to have a lot of crowds. I'm not confident that this will go. And we saw what the Premier did with this latest cluster. We had a shutdown for 5 days. That looks like it's going to be the game plan. We'll talk about game plans in footy, but that looks like it's going to be the game plan from Daniel Andrews going forward. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think even the AFL knows what's going to happen round one of those first couple of weeks.
We sort of felt that we got through, I think Gil McLachlan called it footy's greatest crisis in 100 years last year. But there's a sense, isn't there, that financially this year could be not as bad because we know, at least we know what to expect this time with the virus. But that $600 million that the AFL got as a sort of insurance alone, they didn't draw down on it. But if you have no crowds, the finances are really going to be stretched. Having said that, at the cricket, we had 30,000 Boxing Day, which wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. And we were in the height of summer then. I mean, I'm concerned about with winter coming, Mick, where this virus is going to go.
Not to mention borders, you know.
Yeah, well.
What's Mark McGowan going to do with the Eagles and Fremantle? So
he's a tough little bugger, Mark McGowan. I'd like him playing half-forward flank for the Bombers this year, actually. He's a man of strong conviction, isn't he?
He's got an approval rating of 90%, so he's doing something right.
When's the last Australian politician who's had that sort of approval rating, Mick?
Daniel Andrews. not recently. But,
Robert Menzies, maybe?
We won't go into Robert Menzies. Johnny Howard was pretty good. We won't talk politics on this podcast.
I've spoken to people high up in the AFL. I know when listeners and readers hear that, I've spoken to them. You know, and that's our job. You know, we try and get a lie of the land, and you know, several people at the AFL and chief executives of Clubland have said to me, you know, this year could be a bigger problem. Now, you could say, well, if they're not going to go away for hubs for 17 weeks, how can it be a bigger problem? The finances are a really major concern if the crowds get back, because a lot of walk-up tickets are shared, and some of them, you know, the home team keeps a lot of that. That keeps a lot of that money. So right now, I wouldn't say we're on tenterhooks, Mick.
No, we are.
I think it's a firefighting slogan at the moment. It's watch and act.
All right. Well, that was
going to watch and act.
Well, you know, out at Warrandyte, those sort of rules. But it's a bit of a morbid start. Let's look at some positive, isn't it? Let's hope that the
fires. Mate, if someone has a barbecue out at Warrandyte and there's a bit of smoke coming up over the hills, I think most of the suburb starts panicking.
So let's just hope that the vaccine kicks in and the warm weather stays and the COVID disappears.
Hang on, what are you predicting? What are you predicting for the crowd for round one?
I still think we'll get 25,000 in round one.
So you're looking at 25%?
Yeah. But
and a week and a half ago, they were tipping or announcing that they were hoping to get 75%. So within a week, it's gone from, say, 60,000 down to 25,000.
Yeah. And that game is worth $1 million cash to Richmond and Carlton, which they split.
Which they share. Yeah, they do. They share the gate.
And there's just an example. There's 500,000 that's going. But that's all the negative stuff out of the way, Robbo. Let's talk about some footy and hopefully the virus goes away and we can get on with the show. What are you looking forward to? What's exciting you about footy? What are going to be the big stories of 2021?
Well, every year we think, oh, well, what's going to happen this year? And this game continues to throw up some crazy, crazy stuff. And we've seen a little bit of that over the summer anyway. And you think this game just continues to find stories. But in a football sense, we are going to go into a season with several coaches and teams under enormous pressure. That happens every year. But, you know, sometimes the names get swapped around. We're going into a season where the AFL is attempting to try and fix the game. The last article I wrote last year, Mick, was that this game was in crisis and these numbers from the last 15 years and the game has to change. And I'll give them credit. They pulled the trigger on the man on the mark, and I hadn't thought of that. I had not thought of that. But speaking to a couple of clubs, they are spending a lot of time coaching defensively, offensively, of the player not being able to move more than a metre on the mark. I think he's going to be bombastic in the first couple of weeks or the first quarter or the first round or whatever, because their instinct of players moving in the same direction of the play with the ball is going to be hard to stop.
It always worries me when you introduce a rule when you haven't trialled it, and I know we'll get one round of the NAB or whatever that pre-season competition's called now, but, gee, that's a, you know, if you're going to get a flurry of 50-metre penalties because players are, moving an inch either side of the mark, that it's...
No, it's not an inch. You've got a metre to play, in my understanding. But you got to remember one thing, Mick.
A metre to the left or a metre to the right.
That's it, really.
Right.
So, mate, you can't... You got to remember one thing. The game is in serious trouble, in my opinion. I interviewed Ross Lyon late last year. He said there is no time and there is no space. What the AFL is trying to do is find time and find space to get some highlights back into this game. And what they've stopped is the ability to move the ball. Coaches have done that. So what they're trying to do is allow players who have got the pill to move and run in a 45-degree angle and bring it back into the corridor, create run and space and excitement. I don't know why people are whinging about this. No one barracks for the man on the mark. We barrack for...
No one's whinging. I just like to see things trial before they come into the season proper, but I'll give it a couple of weeks. We'll see how it goes.
You agree that the game has to be opened up, don't you?
Absolutely. But I've always said it's the interchange bench, and I'm glad that they brought rotations down a little bit, down to 75. It probably won't make a difference, but at least it's a sign for the first time that they are agreeing with Kevin Bartlett and these people who have said fatigue governs the game, tire the players, spread the field. That will happen eventually if you get it down to, say, 40.
I don't think the AFL could have gone from 90 down to 20. That was too major of adjustment. It just couldn't happen. Yeah. So hopefully the AFL will bring it down 15 a year for the next, you know, four or five years.
Yep. Now, one thing that excites me just in terms of, I love it when kids come through, and I know it was only a practice match, but I saw Connor Rosie kick six in a intra-club the other day. He just is one of these kids coming through who's a jet, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him. And just this, the new generation who are coming.
He's not a jet, mate. I had him in my Supercoach team last year.
He's not a jet.
First year, I think he won the Rising Star in his first year. In his second year, I reckon Zach Butters and Dersmer at the club went past him. I actually thought for a long time, and I wrote it a couple of times last year, that what's happened to Connor Rosie? I was rapt to hear he kicked six. But you can't say he's a jet. What he is right now.
He
has got class. There's a difference between having class and being a jet. A jet to me is performing week in, week out. He doesn't perform week in, week out, mate. I hope after a disappointing second year that Connor Rosie elevates himself in the third year. But you're right, he's got class, but he's not a jet yet.
Well, isn't it great, though, that we've got those sort of talking points of the young kids? The other thing that really interests me is Geelong, the way that they recruit, incredible recruiting, really. Like, when is the cliff ever going to come for Geelong? Maybe never. It did after 20 years for Sydney, of course, who made the finals, 19 out of 20 years. But Geelong, what do you think of the way they've gone about it, trying to just bridge that gap with Richmond?
So the gap was closing until Dustin Martin really stepped up and others. Some coaching moves, you know, making sure Stewart was accountable in the grand final after half time, et cetera, but Dusty separated. They were, 20-odd points up at half time. They're close. They're close. So they've wound up with Jeremy Cameron, who will be the roamer. Tommy will be the deepest, I think. He'll be the roamer. He'll be a better player. He'll be rejuvenated. The Cats will get a lot of the pill inside, so Jeremy should have a great year. And you're not recruiting
Smith and Higgins as well up the ground.
And Sean Higgins, he is a jet, mate. Now there's a difference between Connor Rose. He's 32, 33, Sean Higgins, but he is a jet. His ability to use the ball, his footy nous is just excellent, absolutely excellent. And they've got Isaac Smith. So they've picked up three creative players. Now, the conversation about Geelong over the last couple of years is they're too robotic. The only person that really plays with flair is Patrick Dangerfield. He doesn't follow rules. He never goes back from the man of the mark. He just gets out and runs, which goes against what many people perceive the philosophy of just keeping control of the ball with the Cats. So they've brought in three creative players. So I think it's going to make them a better team. Unquestionably. I mean, Isaac Smith's not coming in not to run with the ball. He's one of the best 400, 500-metre runners in the competition. He's going to be asked to produce that for the Cats. I think the Cats are well and truly in the mix. I'm really excited, Mick, about Joe Danaher. I'm really excited about Josh Dacos. You know, yes. You look at all these teams and you think, wow, what's coming through? I'm trying to get excited about Carlton. I did pick him ninth, and I did pick him eighth in the Herald Sun preseason tipping competition. Where did you have him? Did you have him in the eighth?
I think they'll be thereabouts, won't they? For their long-suffering fans, it's got to be this year, doesn't it? I mean, you know, Patrick Cripps out of contract. It has to be a good year for. They recruited beautifully. Sard's a great pickup.
I'm going to give you some advice. Do not write one article this year about Patrick Cripps possibly leaving Carlton. Okay, don't write one.
I've already written one. Did you really? Saying that Carlton? No, Carlton's very confident, aren't they, that he'll sign? But until he does.
He did an interview with us last year, mate. During lockdown, he went home to West Australia. And he told the Herald Sun, I'm very happy at Carlton. Off the record, he spoke about the importance and the honour of being captain of a club. And we spoke about whether, you know, how many captains leave football clubs? And so,
They don't. There was one at North, wasn't there, once. The one with West Coast took this 7% across the board pay cut, and they said, as a result of it, we won't be recruiting anyone at the end of the season. So Carlton would have been saying, hello. So West Coast are out.
They're all out, mate. Patrick Cripps is not leaving Carlton. He is the Carlton captain. He's honoured to have that position. He wants to bring this club up the ladder. He wants to play finals. He wants to contend. Patrick Cripps will not be leaving Carlton.
Now, the biggest story to me is going to be Essendon. I worry about Essendon. I thought it was fascinating, that review that they conducted, where they essentially, let me see if I can transcribe what you think the review said, was that Worsfold wasn't hard enough on the players. He had a philosophy that if you've got yourself on an AFL list, you don't need me to motivate you, to drive you, to have the big stick out, whereas the review found the players wanted that. They want Rutten to be hard on them. There are other aspects to the review as well, but essentially to me it was almost like you had two conflicting philosophies last year with Worsfold and Rutten, and they think that now Worsfold's gone, that, you know, with Rutten doing it his way, that they will find the right method. But it is, to me, it's an intriguing situation.
No, it is. I mean, Ben Rutten is 37. He's the youngest coach in the competition. He goes in with his eyes wide open. He knows he's under pressure. He knows the whole club is under pressure. And it's not just Ben Rutten as the coach. I mean, Xavier Campbell's been there for, he was wartime CEO, he's been there for a long, long time. This was his appointment. We will find out whether Brent Ben Rutten is the right coach, or is the environment at Essendon the right environment. I mean, if Essendon are zip four, mate, or zip five, there will be incredible heat out of Tullamarine, on Tullamarine. Incredible heat. But, you know, Rutten deserves his opportunity. He's got it. Okay, he goes in. Every Essendon fan looks at Essendon and says, okay, you've got an opportunity. Fix the way this rubbish game plan is being played. Just bring spirit. Bring what is Essendon back to Essendon. Essendon, you know, have you seen that latest meme or message about Essendon won a final for 6,000 days now? Oh, my, 6,000 days. Essendon people just want respect back into the football club, and they want the team to have a go. Now, Essendon is one of the most intriguing. The other, of course, is Collingwood. The events since you dropped the bomb, Mick, of the Do Better report and the fallout from that. Were you surprised? Did you expect Eddie McGuire to survive this year?
No, I didn't. But then in hindsight, it made sense because he always survived, didn't he, gaff after gaff? Or, you know, Eddie McGuire, he was always going to decide when he wanted to go. But the decision that he made late last year to give himself that extra year but to announce a finish line probably showed that he was under more internal pressure than probably we realised. And I think there were signs that McGuire had started to lose the support of his own board. And, of course, he'd never had that issue, had he, for 22 years.
Well, when you handpick your board, mate, that generally doesn't happen.
And when you handpick board, some of them start to turn on you because of the pressures. You know, as I said, in hindsight, it was an easy thing. But it fascinates me now who should be the next president, because Mark Corder was on the board for since 2007, majority of McGuire's time there. And he was on the board that overwhelmingly endorsed him to stay on after the Adam Goods comments. And Peter Murphy, is it right that you can do an independent review of a club and then you end up running it? I'm not sure. Francis Galbally, the club's lawyer, certainly doesn't think it's right.
I read that, and Galbally would know more about that than me. But what you want as a president, regardless of you've done reviews, regardless of what you've done in life, you want a person who's strong and passionate about the football club and will make every decision in the interest of the football club. Peter Murphy was asked to do a review at the end of 2017. There's been a bit of information. It's never been revealed, that review. Not even you can get your hands on that one. It's never seen the light of day. It'd be really, really interesting what was recommended. I mean, Gary Pert left. He left the AFL. I mean, left Collingwood. It's really interesting. Eddie McGuire was basically ran out of his football club, okay? There was other senior figures at that club. Gary Pert was chief executive for 10 years, from 2007 to 2017. I've heard and read no kickback on Gary Pert. I mean, the responsibility of Nathan Buckley as coach of that team and player and coach of that team for a large period, there's been no kickback on him. It makes me think that people at Collingwood think the review was about the Be Better report was about Eddie McGuire in recent years, more than the football club. But then, of course, you've got the Heredia Lumumba situation, which is ongoing, that has just become a hand grenade.
What would you want to ask Buckley if you got an interview?
He's already been asked, Mick. He's already been asked.
Not since the reports.
Not since the report, but before that he's
been at that club for the duration of that part. I think he had 2 years out of the club.
2 years at Seven and doing media. But see, I think Nathan Buckley's already answered the question. He wasn't aware of any racial discrimination that he'd seen anyway.
Vilification.
So he had never seen that. Okay.
No, but what does he think about the finding that there's systemic racism at a club that he spent 20 years at?
I don't know. He'll be doing a press conference soon enough, or he'll be going on one of his paid media appointments, and then that's where he'll speak about it. And that's really, the Collingwood are just a fascinating story Now, people straight away goes, oh, Buckley's lost the support of his number one supporter, which is Eddie Maguire. He probably has. But Nathan Buckley's, who's going into his last year of contract, he has not been extended. Nathan Buckley will be let go or extended on the results of this year. It's as simple as that. If Nathan Buckley gets into a preliminary final after their trade period, which left a lot of people shaking their heads, and it wasn't just the trade period was a result of poor management of the salary cap. So they had to make decisions. So they made decisions. Good on them. They made decisions. That's going to upset people. And they brought in kids in the draft. If Nathan Buckley can turn this team into a top four team this year and, you know, play preliminary final, mate, I'm not sure that Nathan Buckley won't be extended next year. I think he deserves to be extended. His issue is if they drop down further, right, does the club then say, right, we need a break. This is it. Thanks, Bucks. You've been here for 10 years, nearly got us over the line, but we need something new. That's what's going to be, I think, a major talking point this year.
Their massive recruit was Graham Wright, the Hawthorn football boss. I think he's going to be goes without saying, doesn't it, but a very, very crucial figure.
Well, he's just an experienced figure. Yeah. He's been out at Hawthorn. Do you know why he left Hawthorn?
The catastrophe of last year's trade period wouldn't have surely have played out the way it did with Graham Wright in charge.
Well, Graham Wright probably would have done the post-draft press conference on Fox Footy instead of Ned Guy, which is one of the more extraordinary press conferences I've seen, dead set, I've seen in recent times. My God. The season ends and the new season starts. And anyway, I mentioned Jay Denner before. Again, what we do at this time of the year, we just talk to a lot of clubs and a lot of different people. Apparently, Big Joe, he hasn't missed a beat, which, you know, upset Essendon fans, but he hasn't missed a beat since he joined the club. Apparently he played a practice match and kicked four goals and played on Harris Andrews. And, an insider told me that he beat Harris Andrews.
Right.
Not many people have beat Harris Andrews. And that got him very, very excited. And don't be surprised.
On his own.
And don't be surprised if Joey does a bit of rucking this year.
Well, you don't put Ferraris in the ruck, Robbo, you know that. But anyway,
let's... You do if it's going to help you win games. Scott Modding, that's what we do. We put all these players in cotton wool. See, Brisbane lost Steph Martin to the Doggies. The big Oscar McInerney will probably be first ruck. I don't know who their second ruck is going to be. So I did make a few inquiries, and they think they're going to look like putting Joe in there to support Oscar. So, yeah, very interesting. And Cockatoo.
Wouldn't that hurt Geelong fans if he could get up and running? Just one last one to finish on. This time last year, you put out your top 50 and you put the Bont as your number one. You're not going to make the same mistake this year, are you?
Bont's a jet, mate.
Yeah, so, that wasn't the question.
I had Bont in the top 10 by the end of the year. I thought he struggled early and came home really, really well.
He had a good year, but
Dusty was number one. No, yeah, no, okay, fella. Okay, fella.
Who's going to be your number one?
You give me your top 10 off the top of your head right now.
Martin, Dangerfield, Fife, Bont and Lachie Neal.
Next five?
Anyway, I've given him your five. Give me your five.
Most people have roundabout. I try and look at a top 20 group. I mean, Dustin Martin, I haven't really spoken to you about that since his performance last year, Mick. Is Dustin Martin the best player in the comp? Yes. Is he the best player week in, week out? No. Does he get it done in the biggest games? Yes, that makes him the best player.
Yeah, well, Lachie Neal's probably the best week in, week out.
Yeah, Lachie Neal, an outstanding year. And Dangerfield, absolutely, he's up there. I found it really interesting at the end of last year, Mick, that everyone was saying, oh, he's one of the best big game players that's ever played the game. So just think about that comment, right? He's one of the best big game players that's ever played the game. No one knows what Collingwood and Gordon Coventry did in the 1920s. So, I mean, it's just a sweeping statement. So, but still, we'll go along with it. If you're considered one of the best big game players that's ever played, that makes you one of the best players that's ever played, because people are judged on their performances in finals. And if you have an extraordinary, I think he's got best on ground 10 out of 12 or 11 out of the last 13 games that Richmond have played in finals. That doesn't make him the best big game player. That makes him one of the best players ever. Do you agree?
Oh, he's the best Richmond player, obviously, since Bartlett. And you'd have to put him in that Lee Matthews bracket, wouldn't you? I saw the tail end of Lee Matthews, but I've obviously know about the legend. Kicked 900 goals.
I think it was 970 over 332. He was a great player.
Lee said that he's happy for him to be compared to Dustin Martin. So there you go.
See, what the greats in footy do, they look at other players and think, God, he can do something that I can't do. So I reckon Lee might look at – Lee could do a lot of things, a lot of things. He must look at Dustin and go, well, I can't do that. I can't do that.
Well, who are the best you've seen in your time in footy? Going right back.
I'm only marginally ahead of you. I can remember footy from about 1978. Lee Matthews was top of the pops there. He didn't win a Brownlow, and then it's Duck, Wayne Carey, Lockett, Dunstall. And then you get into, you know, Michael Voss, James Hurd. But then you get into players, and to go back on what our game's missing, and this really annoys me about this game that we've covered and love and we go to and we cheer and all that sort of stuff. Where's the next Peter Dacos coming? Where are these sorts of players? Where's the next
freak players? Well, we talked about them, the Connor Rosees. They're the ones. That's the X factor player. There's plenty of them around, Robbo.
Well, they don't have the X factor of the X factor players of recent times, mate. Because there's no time and space.
No,
there's no time and space.
Well, the man on the mark apparently is the panacea that's going to fix football. So I'm looking forward to seeing more time and space.
I'm gonna really hammer. Tell me if I'm wrong here, mate. But I really am gonna hammer home on the state of the game this year. Now we put up with it last year because there were so many challenging situations for the players. Games every 4 days, less minutes, defensive lockdown games, keep possession. Seriously, I fell asleep during a game last year for the first time since I've been working in the paper. I fell asleep during that.
Who was playing?
Richmond and Sydney.
That was a shocking game.
I fell asleep about 15 minutes to wake up and the score was still the same.
3-2 or something, wasn't it?
I was panicking. But I think fans this year have got to stop saying, stop meddling with the rules. Because if the AFL doesn't meddle with the rules, coaches will continue to have this great power over the direction of the game. So at the moment, the AFL rulemakers, they're sort of fighting with coaches. And the coaches will say, yeah, we've got to make the game great. But at the same time, they're defending everything. You know, they're defending every blade of grass in a game. So I think as we go into 2021, we've got to fix this game. We've got to fix it. Because if not, I don't. Well, you'd hate it, Mick.
Well, it's interesting.
You hate it because I always say we've got to have starting positions at all stoppages.
Oh, no. We're never having that.
But the philosophy is to spread spread the game.
Yes, it is.
Get players away from the ball. And I've got one for you. You know, you've been writing a lot of concussion stories. You know, and Peter Jess is talking about concussions and the hits. Mate, part of the reason I think, and I'm no expert,
good point. Congestion.
The congestion around the ball means more players are getting hit in the head. So the AFL has got to spread. They've got to take players away from the contest. So when the guy picks up the ball and turns right, there's not a player there. And when he turns left, there's not two players there. And then when he hands up to a teammate, there's two players ready to jump on him. All these continual knocks to the head. So, A, we've got to fix the game. But, B, I think it can help one of the major issues in the game, which is ongoing concussion.
Good on you, Robbo. I think we'll wind it up there. Just one last one. Give me your February Premier and Brownlow medalist for 2021.
I think Christian Petrarca is the talent and the ability to win the Brownlow medal.
This is the Warrandyte block again.
Well, he's a good kid, Petrarca. Better than that, he's a really, really good player because what he is, he changes games. He actually wins games.
All right. Well, we haven't talked about the long-suffering Melbourne fans. I mean, is he going to drag Melbourne finally to the promised land?
No. They need more than that. Say he's Melbourne's Dustin Martin, okay? And don't say to me, oh, he couldn't carry his bag. Petrarca is a very, very good player, right? So he's got the ability to do some really, really special things. But Melbourne need to fix a couple of things so they get the most out of Christian Petrarca. That makes sense. They have got to fix their forward line. And they've just, seriously, they go out and get Ben Brown. He's gone down with a knee. Wiedemann's hurt, 5 weeks out. You know, special player is Cozzy. He's gone home, unfortunately for him, and really sad that his mother's passed away and he's gone home. And we hope he gets back, and we hope he has to deal with what he has to deal with at home, but it's very, very sad. But I'm expecting him to be an absolute standout this year. I think he's going to be a star. But it's got the same problems. They haven't got a forward line, so they go and get Magic Door. It's not a great star. Magic's not a bad player. But, you know, in their sort of renaissance from their really poor 2019 season, I think they fixed a bit in the last 7-8 games last year. I think they went 6-3 coming home. I've got a little bit of faith in Melbourne, but, geez, they're starting behind the eight ball already, which means, you know, in 5 weeks in, Simon Goodwin's going to be a discussion point, et cetera, et cetera. Tell you what won't happen this year, the president, Glenn Bartlett, won't be coming out and spraying the entire club with, you know, a machine gun of verbal words. I don't think he'll be doing that again.
All right, so that's your Brownlow. Who's your premier?
I can't see Richmond getting beaten again. I just can't. You know, even last year they had so much go wrong, and forget the off-field stuff. They had to play a preliminary final at Adelaide at Adelaide Oval against Port Adelaide, who were probably the most consistent, best competing team in the competition last year. They finished on top of the ladder. They go over there for a cutthroat final at Port Adelaide, and guess what? They were just too tough and too good yet again. So the games get back to the G and the way Richmond players. Yeah, hear me out here. Hear me out here, Mick. People, I don't know about you over summer, people ask you about Richmond, but being a Richmond supporter, you just sort of go, yeah, and wear your voice heart jumper number 4 on your back when you go to the pub.
I wish.
People say to me, Richmond, how do you stop them? And I say to myself, before lockdown, there was what? How many coaches at each club? 10?
Yep.
Righto. So there's 10 coaches. There's 170 people, plus opposition analysts, plus people they drag in specials to try and unlock how Richmond play the game and how do you beat it. And no one can. So people, I said, well, how do you expect me to? We've got full-time people at 17 clubs trying to work out a way to deny Richmond, and they can't do it. So I don't know what's going to happen this year. Port Adelaide might be a shot, you know, the motivation, et cetera, improved players, improved game plan, tougher for longer and all that sort of stuff, how you judge a team. But for 4 years, other than that frightful night when Richmond didn't play, you know, their mindset was bad and they got knocked up by Collingwood in that 2018 preliminary final, no team has been able to conquer them, mate. And I don't think that's going to happen again this year. So my premiership favourite is Richmond.
The Hardwick stuff's intriguing. I wonder actually whether that will steal Richmond even more. People are saying it could implode. And, you know, if they lose early games, Damien Hardwick will be asked whether it's his fault. And that may well happen. But I also think what might happen is that they might galvanise as a result of it. And, you know,
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. I think you make a really good point there.
I think Koch and Hawley and Riewoldt are getting on. Like, there's you know, that they do have the depth as well that no other club has. People say they don't have that good a list. They have the best list and they bat the deepest. That game you mentioned, Port Adelaide, you know, Kane Lambert was the one who sprung up and kicked two goals in the last quarter that they weren't really keeping an eye on him.
But it's not just who kicks the goals, mate.
It's the overwhelming pressure, isn't it, that comes.
The overwhelming surge, their contribution to each other, the contribution to the team. You know, you talk about Basher Hurley getting old. No, Basher really won the North Smith 2 years ago. I'm not worried about Basher. Cotchin's still at the top of his game, playing his very selfless role. And you know what? Jack Riewoldt, I'd be surprised if he kicks 45 goals. Very surprised. But Jack Riewoldt's smarts allows Tom Lynch and the team forward of centre to function. Mm. So Jack's playing a real sacrificial role, and I don't see Jack going out of the team, but I don't see Jack kicking, you know, threes and fours and fives too many more times in his career. But that, as Damien Hardwick is coaching this team, is not what the team values. They value that those little team things, such as, you know, as the ball goes in the forward line, don't chase the ball, run to the other side and stop the outlet kick. You know, just little things like that. Don't get sucked into the ball. Stay back. Stay back and watch the outlet and pressure. So, yeah, Richmond's my go-to team this year again, and I'm looking forward to the team that is good enough to knock them off.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing this Amazon documentary we heard so much about. We saw the Test Cricket one. Have you watched it? It was bloody good.
The Test Cricket one was fantastic, actually.
And next week we'll have Scotty Gallen to steer the ship, and it won't be as bad a podcast. But, Robbo, let's chat next week.
I think you did a great job there, Mike Walsh. Talk next week.